it was Satan's job to oppose him making that trip because he would redeem mankind. There must have been battalions of demons, hierarchy, high in order, because he comes down from the hill and there's the rest of his disciples just beating their gums trying to cast a demon out of a person. And Jesus, they said, why can't we do it? After Jesus took care of the matter, he says, these kind cometh forth only with prayer and fasting. Now, he didn't tell that to the 70. There are some demonic forces. The Warrens will distinguish between demons and many devils. The Bible clearly says only one devil. But under him, in the hierarchy, are some more powerful than others. That was a terribly powerful prince of Persia that Gabriel and Michael had to fight. And the prince of Grecia that came. And when they come out, you'll read this in the book of Revelation, go right by you. They come out of the abyss, those locust demons. They're not all equalized. They're led by Abaddon. They have a general. His name is Abaddon, and he is Abaddon. There are hierarchies of demons. I want you to note that as we go through this. I'm boring you. Okay, why are you smoking? To comfort the folks down in North Carolina that have been dumped on for so many years. To comfort my friends in Kentucky. Not only am I smoking a pipe that is just awful for... You can't go to heaven and smoke a pipe. Much less one like this. We make void the Word of God by our traditions. I just love to bust them. At first, it struck Lorraine that Ted Donovan's imagination had run wild. But by the time he finished, it was evident to her that this man's home was under diabolical siege. Ed is involved with another case this Saturday, she had to tell him. However, we would be able to come to your home tomorrow, Sunday. Ted agreed immediately. After the anguish of the past 6 weeks, they'd been under attack. Surely, he reasoned, one more day would be inconsequential. Demonology is just not just a matter of chasing down spates of weird activity. Wherever they go, and despite their often busy schedule, the Warrens' first priority is to assist those who are being oppressed, assaulted, or even possessed by the forces of darkness. That night, Lorraine repacked their traveling bags, and early Easter morning, they were on their way to Maine via the Connecticut town and the home of one Ted Donovan. They arrived at the Donovan's house on Easter afternoon. The place looked fairly placid, says Ed, except for those stones littering the lawn. Inside, however, things were just the opposite. Evidently, expensive furniture stood chipped and stained. Marks covered the walls and a foul odor permeated the air. Lorraine, whom you remember had parapsychological ability, said nothing, although at the time she sensed in the house the presence of entities so numerous and threatening that she had to fight with herself to keep from going back outside. It seemed to her that a wild fury was building, that indeed the worst was yet to come. Having introduced his family to Ed and Lorraine, Ted then showed them the rest of the house. In every room, he stopped to recount at least a dozen incidents to which the Warrens listened attentively, taking mental notes of the activity he described while keeping an ear cocked for any exaggeration or salesmanship in the man's rendition of events. When the tour was over, Ed and Lorraine conducted an investigative interview with the four Donovans. First, they asked Ted to speak to the family and give a chronology of events that had occurred in the house since the siege began. For over an hour, Ted provided meticulous details of events that were, in the Warrens' estimation, potentially spirit-induced. "Do any of you know what may have caused this problem in your house?" Ed asked. "No," they answered. "When did you notice the first occurrence of unusual activity?" "We figure it was March 3rd when Patty's car tire went flat at the drugstore. That may have been a coincidence, but it seems to have been the first incident," Ted reported. "Has anyone in the neighborhood or your immediate family recently passed away? Perhaps someone you didn't get along with very well?" "I've been sleeping in the bed a guy died in." "Is anyone in the family seeing a psychiatrist?" "No." "Did you purchase?" I'm going slow on these because some of you may want to take stock. I warn you. "Did you purchase an antique or a secondhand piece of furniture from a tag sale, say, before the ruckus began?" "No." "Has anyone in the family bought or received an unusual gift or figurine from abroad?" People spent 30 years dealing with these problems. These are the ones that went to the Amityville horror case. These are the ones that were called in by the commandant of West Point to deal with a ghost. This is a checklist. I got a headhunter holding a head carved from wood and a breech clout in my office, just come to think of it. "Has anyone in the family bought or received an unusual gift or figurine from abroad? Carved statues? A Haitian voodoo doll? No." I warn you. As Ed and Lorraine interviewed the Donovans, intermittent knockings began to occur. Now we got some more witnesses. I mean, where'd the Donovans get their pictures? You're going to see. As Ed and Lorraine interviewed the Donovans, or where'd the Warrens get their pictures? Intermittent knockings began to occur. The sounds could be heard in the walls for a few minutes, and then they'd stop. The noises started up again a few minutes later. This time erupting from various points on the floor. I said, "Why are you smoking that pipe while you're reading this thing? You could go faster." I'm a vengeful person. I'm getting even with the tension you all put me through over the weekend. You say, "Well, I didn't do it." And rejoice with me while I do it to those who did. As Ed and Lorraine interviewed the Donovans, intermittent knockings began to occur. The sound could be heard in the wall a few minutes, and then they'd stop. The noises started up again a few minutes later, this time erupting from various points on the floor. The sounds were audible enough to be picked up on the tape recorder. The Warrens have them in their museum. The Warrens pressed forward with the questioning, giving no recognition to the activity. They ignored all that pounding. Ed then began to ask specific questions which would hopefully pin down the origin of the problem. Are you people interested in the occult as a pastime? Have you been attending sessions with consciousness-raising groups? No. This is a Catholic book I'm reading. Has anyone bought or withdrawn from the library books on Satanism or witchcraft rituals? No. For your knowledge, has a seance ever been held in this house, even years ago? Now, I've always had a thing about buying old houses. Never, was the firm reply. Brian, Patty, are any of your friends interested in the occult who perform rituals or ceremonial magic? No. Has anyone here used a Ouija board or automatic writing device? Oh, Patty said, just above a whisper. Have you used a Ouija board, Patty? Lorraine asked pointedly. Yes, the young girl admitted to her family's amazement. All right, dear, you better tell us about it then, Lorraine said. Start right from the beginning, please. With that, Patty Donovan told how she'd been using the Ouija board to communicate with the spirit of a teenage boy who supposedly died in the area some 10 years earlier. Patty admitted that she never actually saw the spirit, though she once asked it to manifest. She also defended the spirit as real, citing how it accurately predicted future events days before they happened. She denied her spirit friend could have caused the gruesome activity in the house. He was kind and understanding, she said. Not at all destructive and cruel. Did this spirit tell you its name? Lorraine asked the girl when she finished talking. No, he told me he wasn't allowed to, Patty replied. I presume you're still communicating with this spirit, Lorraine said. No, Patty admitted, somewhat dejectedly. I must have done something wrong. I've never been able to talk to him again after I asked if he'd show himself to me that night. When was that night? Lorraine pressed her. Just a minute, said Patty, who got up and went into her bedroom. March 2nd, she called out, then returned to the table. And the activity began? On March 3rd, Ted Donovan said, looking at Ed. Ted, Ellen, and Brian had listened in astonishment to Patty's bizarre tale. How could something so trivial as a Ouija board cause so much calamity? Accordingly, amidst the knockings, Ed had no choice but to spend the next half hour explaining the gruesome reality of demoniacal phenomena to them. After Ed finished his explanation, the Donovan sat dumbfounded and silent. Mr. Warren, Ted finally felt compelled to ask, how do you know all this? Mr. Donovan, Ed replied, this is my work. I've done it all my life. I'm a demonologist. My God, was all Ted was able to utter. Completing the interview with the Donovan family, Ed and Lorraine excused themselves and held a private conversation outside on the front lawn. The case, they agreed, was far more serious than they had first imagined. Certainly the siege would never stop of its own accord. In fact, the activity was now reaching a dangerous stage. And as the family had already learned, they could not avoid the problem by running. It would follow them wherever they went. The Warrens decided the quickest solution was to get the church involved immediately so the phenomena could be verified and then acted upon. Somewhere along the line, Ed knew a clergyman would have to bear witness to what was happening, and he specifically wanted Father Jason to be that witness. Now, Jason's encountered earlier in this book. I don't want to take a side road. He's just a Catholic father, Jason. with the, and the, Ed and Lorraine Warren knew him. With the Donovan's permission, he telephoned the same priest singled out as an enemy by the spirit associated with the rag doll Annabelle. That's another story. This priest had made a spirit mad. I try to tell my people that I work around that we're fighting against spiritual forces. I don't go calling every rock and every nut that runs a stop sign a demon. I can tell you this, I've been making Satan mad the last few weeks, because if you go on the air and start exposing him in an intelligent way, he's going to fight it. I have people around me every month that literally seem to lose their mind because they will not accept the fact we are under demonic attack and apply spiritual principles to remove it. They keep fighting. It's like fighting a tank with a baseball bat. But let's go on. The Catholic Church requires, before the clergyman will go, that a verification by a priest occur, and not every priest is ready to perform an exorcism. Certain ones are... Remember the monk that recommended they call the Warrens earlier said he was not any match, or he was not able to exorcise and deal with a demon. That's what the book said, right? Yeah. Catholic Church been around a while. Now, I know there's a certain evangelist that says Catholics won't go to heaven, their prayers aren't answered. To me, heaven on earth would be to lock that evangelist and Ed and Lorraine Warren in this house where the rocks are falling and see who comes out. Talk's cheap, my friends. I'm not a Catholic. But I don't tell God who he can take to heaven, who he can't. He's told me the promise that guarantees my interest if I grab hold of it. What he does with others is his business and theirs. Another subject. They wanted Father Jason to be the witness. Father Jason, a learned young priest in his early 30s, had recently studied demonology, and over the past year, Ed had been tutoring him on the practical aspects of the discipline. Ed's a lay Catholic. Ed and Lorraine have arrived at the Donovan House. Deliverance is the name of the chapter. Somewhere along the line, Ed knew a clergyman would have to bear witness to what was happening, and he specifically wanted Father Jason to be that witness. With the Donovan's permission, he telephoned the same priest singled out as an enemy by the spirit associated with the rag doll Annabelle. That's another story. Father Jason, a learned young priest in his early 30s, had recently studied demonology, and over the past year, Ed had been tutoring him on the practical aspects of the discipline. A few hours later, just after sunset, the priest arrived at the Donovan House. By that time, activity had already begun afresh, with scratchings and poundings and the levitation of small objects. To test whether the pounding was being caused deliberately, Ed pounded twice on the wall. There came two poundings in reply. He then pounded four times in quick succession. Four quick raps sounded on the floor, then on the table. Obviously, there was an intelligence behind the activity. Ed asked Father Jason to perform a blessing in each room, which, when accomplished, reduced the power and frequency of the pounding, the most annoying aspect of the disturbance. He said, well, no, you're not a Catholic. What are you going to do about that blessing? Well, we'll see. When that was done, Ed and Lorraine sat in the living room and briefed the priest. The Warrens had to leave for Maine that night, but Father Jason would be staying on with the family in their absence. You will now be the object of hatred, Ed told the young priest in no uncertain terms. Now, I'm telling everybody, don't take on demons casually. I tell all of you, you need me in town 24 hours a day, and you better leave me on in your house. Now, I remember I was one of the, our church still owns 20% of Bible Voice that was founded by George Otis. Dad and I ordained George Otis. I remember being called down by George Otis when he bought the old estate owned by Clark Gable, the making of furniture. And the first teaching on cassettes that was marketed nationally was done with Bible Voice, messages of Billy Graham, and my teachings. And they put what is now a fad, many do it. The Bible Voice originally put the Bible on tape. I remember us setting up that tape recorder and playing round the clock, day after day, that recording of the Bible on tape, just going through that house. Demons don't like to hear the Word of God. You leave me on all night in your house on the FM here in Los Angeles. They know me. I tell you that for sure. Anyway, you'll be the object of hatred, Ed told the young priest in no uncertain terms. By the way, that's one of the reasons why I like late-night television. Here in Los Angeles, the reason I bought all that time, you wake up in the middle of the night, you can always turn me on. That's what I wanted and I dreamed for every one of the cities we were in. That I'd take that all-night time. And any hour you woke up in the middle of the night, you could turn me on, I'd be teaching and yelling. You will now be the object of hatred, Ed told the young priest in no uncertain terms. Under no circumstances must you challenge the undiscerned spirits that are here. Well, he's a priest. He studied demonology. But you see, Ed and Lorraine Warren are recognized experts, lay people who actually have been assigned the job of training some priests who know nothing about the subject. Under no circumstances must you challenge the undiscerned spirits that are here. You are in both physical and mental danger in this house. If you're not careful, you can be hurt seriously. So don't try to resolve the problems yourself. Just be strong. Don't let your emotions get the best of you. And in true Catholic fashion, use the rosary, not your temper. Ed handed him a card. Now, here's the phone number where we'll be at the University of Maine. You say, well, now, aren't some of those traditions of the Catholic Church Babylonian in origin? Sure they are. I haven't read you any proof that using the rosary is going to help. They believed it would. Like I've seen people climb that hill to the shrine of the Kneeling Cross above Bogota, Colombia. And I believe faith works, even when misdirected sometimes. I am totally convinced, and will prove as we get on the traditions again, that the rosary originated outside of Christianity. And I said earlier when we described the scene in Ed Lorraine's house, when they were dealing with the Amityville horror story, I can respect these people. We can have a difference of opinion. Historically and factually. I respect their faith, and I believe God honors faith, and I don't think the posture of prayer is that important, and the famous story is that a guy prayed his best when he was standing on his head in the bottom of a well he fell in. And if the demons that came in Ed's house came, I said, if there's a Book of Mormon there, I'd grab it for insurance. But I don't really think it was the crucifix and the holy water that did the job. It was the cannon they fired later. The age-old authority given by Christ himself to act in his name. A little too cool in here now, Mike. But these are Catholic people, honest and sincere and with a lot of experience. Don't take anything for granted, Ed says. If there's something you don't know or can't handle, call us day or night after handing him his card where they'd be in Maine. Writing down another phone number, Ed added, Father Eamon Sullivan will be your immediate superior in this case. I've already contacted him. Call Father Sullivan every day and give him an update on the activity occurring here. In the meantime, Ed told Ellen Donovan, we know you're in the best of hands. There's always a possibility the presence of a priest will cause the phenomena to stop. can also start it. TV evangelists and pastors also. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
After doing everything they could that night, Ed and Lorraine left for the airport. They would remain in constant phone contact and return from Maine immediately if Father Jason needed them. Now, I could skip along if you want me to. After the Warrens left, Father Jason was offered the spare bedroom. Now, a priest might stop these demons. That night, after turning out the lights, the priest lay in bed and listened to all the terrifying sounds the Donovans had been hearing over the past month. During the next few days, activity went on as usual. Now, I'm sure these priests can be located by my Ghostbusters. I'm going to check all this out. Father Jason continued to witness the noises and strange movements of the objects. Yet by Wednesday of Easter week, it was apparent the activity was occurring in defiance of the priest, if not in contempt of him. Whenever Father Jason asked for a pencil, a glass of water, or a book, that object would either rise up and float over to him, or more often would simply be there the next time he looked. I can't keep reading this. It's too unbelievable. Shall I quit? On a few occasions, the object would already be on its way to him before the priest even asked for it. You want to know if that really happened? That object would get the chance to find out if it could catch me. It would also get the chance to see if it could go around corners real fast. Such action seemed amusing. Not to me. I don't know whose sense of humor wrote this book. But Ed warned Father Jason not to take them personally. These sarcastic challenges were intended to try his patience, if not lure him into an emotional involvement he might not be able to control. When they all went to bed that Wednesday night, the atmosphere in the house was anything but playful. The fury of the noises made it impossible to sleep. But beyond the havoc, an appalling evil presence was quite evident in the house. All night long, Father Jason could feel its violent, passionate enmity. On Thursday, April 18th, do you realize when this started? March 3rd. On Thursday, April 18th, when the Warrens returned, Father Jason was ashen and drawn. After 4 days and nights with the Donovans, he had to get away from the intense demonic turmoil. That afternoon, he returned to his rectory to recompose himself for a few days. He would also report to Father Sullivan that an exorcism might have to be performed in the house. Meanwhile, Ed and Lorraine stayed the night with the Donovans to verify the phenomena for themselves, as well as try and discern the precise nature of the spirit presence. Out of fear, Brian and Patty settled down on the floor of their parents' bedroom, sleeping in their clothes like everyone else. Ed and Lorraine would rest in the twin beds in Brian's bedroom across the hall. When the Warrens' lights were turned off that Thursday night, the phenomena rose up in full strength, beginning with gruntings and other bestial noises, followed with a sort of piercing, blood-curdling screams one associates with a horror movie. Added to that were ripping and tearing sounds, which then changed into the noise of boards being wrenched off the walls. Soon the familiar pounding started up.
This is the end of side three. For the rest of the teaching, please turn the tape over for side four. Thank you.